Yeah, super lively crowd. Well, like Bricky said, my name is Ryan. You may have seen my face all over Facebook lately. I've been campaigning myself for a this competition where I get as many likes as possible, and if I get the most, I win this super awesome prize. So if you haven't liked me, like me. That's my little campaign speech for that. But so Barton asked me to talk tonight, and I'm going to continue on with the theme that we're doing this semester called Real Talk with Jesus. And so the idea behind that is Jesus came into the world to have real conversations with us so that we may know him. He wants us to have a relationship with him. And in the Bible, in the gospel, we see that Jesus has real conversations and that he gets real with people. So tonight we're going to continue this theme. We're going to look into John chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. But before we get there, I just want to make one quick point. Ruthie, I loved your talk. One of the things she said, if you didn't remember, like 2 seconds ago, she said that a lot of times people think that to go into a church or to have a relationship with Jesus or to get real with God, you have to be perfect and you have to have your life together. And like Ruthie said, like she didn't have her life together, yet she still has a relationship with Jesus. And that's true with every Christian. That's true with everyone, that no one has their life together. No one's perfect. You can't please God perfectly by your actions. In reality, we are all broken. Jesus, in our brokenness, wants to meet us. So that's kind of the idea that we're going to get at this text tonight. So if you have your Bible, open it up to John chapter 4, verses 1 through 18. And if you don't, you can just follow along on this. Now, when Jesus learned that the Pharisees had heard that Jesus was making and baptizing more disciples than John, although Jesus himself did not baptize, but only his disciples, he left Judea and departed again for Galilee, and he had to pass through Samaria. So he came to a town of Samaria called Sychar, near the field that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. What the heck? Jacob's well was there. So Jesus, wearied as he was from all his journey, was sitting beside the well. It was about the sixth hour. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans." Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him and he would have given you the living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, and did his sons and his livestock." Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of this water that I give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I give him will become in him the spring of a water welling up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I will not be thirsty or have to come here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman said to him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had 5 husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." Oh, I just lost my notes. There we go. All right, so let's just pray real quick, and then we'll just get into this passage. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for this opportunity to come and just get in your word. I pray that we would just scratch beyond the surface and see how it applies to our life. God, I just pray that you would be present tonight and that you would speak through me. It is in your son's name. Amen. So, just a little context behind this. Earlier in John 3, Jesus has just been exalted as the Son of God. John the Baptist is saying, "He is the Messiah of the Jews. He has come to save all of us." And the Pharisees, hearing this, were not very thrilled about that. And so, Jesus was at the time in Judea, and now he's traveling to Galilee to get away from the Pharisees. And to get to Galilee, you need to go through Samaria, and here he stops at this town called Sychar. So, the setting of this is that it is noon. He's at this well. It's a 6th hour, and it's hot. And first, just to really get into this passage, we're gonna look at the Samaritan woman and analyze who she is and what she's going through, and then we're gonna see how Jesus interacts with her. So in verse 7, it reads, "A woman from Samaria came to draw water." Okay, just right there, we see that this woman has come out at noon. It's the hottest part of the day. And at this time, no one goes to the well at noon because it's hot. All the women would go in the morning or the evening. And when the women would go to the well, obviously it would be kind of like a social hour. Women like to gossip and whatnot. And this woman is going when no one else is there. So we see that this woman is an outcast in her Samaritan community. which is something that she has done has made all the other women and the men in this community not want to be around her, and she doesn't want to be around them because she'll be rebuked. Not only is she an outcast, but she's a Samaritan. In verse 9, we see that the Samaritan woman says to Jesus, "How is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria?" At this time, Samaritans were looked at as dirty by the Jews. They were unclean. They were not pure blood. They were not Jewish. And so a lot of times, especially with the Pharisees and the elites of the Jewish community, they saw Samaritans and they looked down upon them and they rebuked them and they wanted nothing to do with them. So not only is this woman outcasted in her community, but in culturally, she's outcasted by Jews. She's basically the worst of the worst. She's no one wants to touch her. No one wants to be around her. And the reason why, as we see in verse 18, Jesus says, "For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband." So this woman, we see who she is. We see that she's had five husbands. She's been divorced multiple times. Her heart has been broken. She's found love and then lost it multiple times. And I guess if you've been in a relationship and then broken up, I guess you kind of understand that. Divorce is a little more severe, obviously. So this woman in the community is looked at as, a prostitute, just kind of a woman who slaves herself out to other men and just finds her identity in them. So this woman right now at this well is just coming looking for satisfaction in men and trying to draw her water so that no longer does she have to be rebuked by women. So now we've got the Samaritan woman. We're going to look at Jesus. And there's a couple things that I just want you to notice. First, with Jesus' actions and what he's doing, and then with the words that he says to this woman. So Jesus is out there at noon when no one else is. He is a Jew, the Jew of all Jews. In Hebrews, it talks about Jesus is the high priest of high priests. He's perfect. He lived a perfect life as a man. He is God. And he's come at noon when no one else will to talk to this Samaritan woman. And Jesus, unlike the Pharisees, isn't sitting on the perch looking down upon her, rebuking her, but he's come to meet her and to know her and have a relationship with her. Second thing Jesus says, in verse 13 and 14, it says, Jesus has come to offer her living water. In the text, it says, "But whoever drinks of this water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I have will give that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to give eternal life." So Jesus is saying, no longer do you have to thirst. The water that I'm going to give you, you don't have to thirst anymore. You will no longer be searching for satisfaction in this earthly things. And so Jesus here is saying, I have life, I can give you rest, and it is from me and me only that you can get it. And it's interesting, John 11, verse 25, later on in John, it says, "I am the resurrection and the life." So Jesus right here is saying, I am the life, I am the water, and it is only through me are you going to have satisfaction. And it's just an interesting parallel just with the setting that they're in, with being next to a well. A lot of times commentary says that Jesus is the well, that you draw your life and your water from Jesus, the well of eternal life. So just continue with that. Verse 13 again, as I just talked about, it claims that you will never find satisfaction in anything but Jesus. What this means for us right now, we're not going to find satisfaction in parties, in a boyfriend or a girlfriend, your sports, especially roads, your grades. GPA is a huge thing here. You're not going to find satisfaction in any of these things. All of it is just going to lead you searching for more, and you're never going to be satisfied. Jordan spoke the other week, and he talked about the rich young ruler, and Jesus has a conversation with him saying, these earthly things are no longer going to satisfy you. And I loved what he said. He gave an example. He used Tom Brady, quarterback, Patriots, really hot guy, awesome wife, just got everything going for him. This is after he's just won like 3 Super Bowls, and he's in this interview, and he's like, "So Tom," this guy's like, "So Tom, what next?" And Tom Brady, or like, "What now?" And he's like, "I don't know. Like, is this really all that there is? Like, I've just won 3 Super Bowls, but I feel still empty." And this is what Jesus is saying here, that you're drawing from this well, this earthly well of water that's never going to satisfy you, and only in me are you going to find life and life to the fullest and no longer thirst. So I guess kind of like the Samaritan woman, I have a story of my own. When I was 5, my parents got divorced. And like 2 months after that, actually, no, not 2 months. I think it was like 6 weeks, my mom got breast cancer. So I went through that and just as a child, just like super scared all the time, just worried about whether she was going to be alive the next day. And then my dad got remarried, and I had a tainted relationship with his wife. And then my mom got remarried and then divorced again. And then we moved to Phoenix, where I left all my friends, wasn't comfortable where I was. And then we moved back to Houston. And then my mom is now getting remarried, or is now married again. But my life was just up and down. I felt like I had everything together. I felt like I could deal with everything. But in reality, inside of me, I was just a kid, just had no idea what was going on. I was broken. I was confused. I was upset. I was angry. All these things from my mom's divorce and cancer and my dad's remarrying and all these things, I was just, it really just started to get in me, and I was lost. And then high school came along, and I started searching for satisfaction in other things. I started smoking weed all the time. I was partying and drinking all the time, having parties in my house. I tried to find my identity in soccer. Had a girlfriend. I was just going for like the popular kid in school that everyone liked, and none of that brought satisfaction. I guess if you were here last year, you heard my story a little bit. Eventually, I got caught, and I ended up going on a mission trip with my high school, and I really began to investigate what it meant to give your life to Jesus, and this idea that I'm not going to find satisfaction in anything but Him. So, what Jesus is saying right now is this last conversation that Jesus has, which I love, is He's saying, Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come here." The woman answered Him, "I have no husband." And Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband, for you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." So, this is like the last part of the conversation. And what we see here is that Jesus knows this woman's story. You see a bit of His divinity there, that He is God, that He is omniscient, that He knows everything. And so He says He knows that she has had five husbands. And some, I feel, will read this text and see Jesus is just condemning her. He's looking down upon her saying, "Oh, I know you've had five husbands. I know what your life is about. I know you're Samaritan. I know you're unclean." But in reality, that's exactly the opposite. Some of us will think, you know, Jesus knows what's going on in my life. I'm not good enough, or I've had sex with my boyfriend, or I'm partying all the time, or I cheat on tests, I lie, whatnot. We see Jesus saying, "I'm too guilty for Jesus to have a relationship with me." And that's the exact opposite of the gospel. Jesus here with compassion and love and brokenness is saying, "I know that you have had five husbands. I know that your parents were divorced. I know that your dad and your mom weren't there when you were growing up. I know that you had to grow up and raise your siblings because you had to be older and mature quicker. I know you struggle with self-confidence. I know that you try to find your identity in others and that you're escaping through drugs, alcohol, grades, whatever it is, these earthly things. I know about it. And I'm here meeting you at this well right now, saying I'm here, and in me alone we have eternal life. No longer do you have to come to this well and search and try and find satisfaction in things of this world, because they're not going to give it to you. Come to me and I will give you life, and life to the fullest." So, I guess as closing, there's a couple of just kind of application questions that you can just think about when before we go play mat ball or whatever. But a couple of questions I have for you is just, what are you running from? What things other than Jesus are you trying to find your life and satisfaction in? And if you're trying to find things other than Jesus, guys, it's not going to satisfy you. You're going to be thirsty, and you're going to be constantly going back for more and more of it, and it's just going to lead you down a life that you don't want to go. Trust me, I did all of it in high school, and it led me to nothing. And when I gave my life to Jesus, I found life, I found joy, I found rest. I found that whatever relationship my parents or the divorce that's happened, it's okay, because I have been saved by Jesus and that He is in control of it, that I have a peace that when I go to bed at night and I rest my head on that pillow, I know that Jesus has died for my sins and that He has loved me. So, if you're like this and you're searching for things of this world, right now I just beg you, stop drawing from this empty well. Give your life to Jesus. Find rest and peace and life in Him. No longer are you going to have to thirst and ask for forgiveness and guilt and just everything that you're dealing with, because we are all broken people and we all need satisfaction. We all need to find our identity in something. It is only in Jesus are you going to find that. So that's it for tonight. I'd just like to close this in prayer, and then the worship team can come up and we can sing just a closing song, and then we can all head out to mat ball and just have an awesome time. So just bow your head with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the gospel, the good news of your son, Jesus Christ, that because you loved us so much that even in our brokenness, you sent your son to die for us so that we can have a real relationship with you. God, I thank you that Jesus is coming today to meet us at the well in our brokenness, to love us and tell us that no longer do we thirst for anything when we have him in our life. God, I pray that if there's anyone in here right now that is just questioning about you, God, that you would give them the courage to just come and talk to anyone here, God, that they would give their life to you. It is in your son's name I pray. Amen.